Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 15.
我们要从第一节先读到第十二节。
So we shall first read from verses 1-12.
使徒行传第十五章第一节说，有几个人从犹太下来教训弟兄们说，你们若不按摩西的规条受割礼，就不能得救。保罗、巴拿巴与他们大大的纷争辩论，众门徒就规定叫保罗、巴拿巴和本会中几个人为所辩论的上耶路撒冷去见使徒和长老。于是教会送他们起行，他们经过腓尼基、撒玛利亚，随处传说外邦人归主的事，教众弟兄们都欢喜。到了耶路撒冷，教会和使徒并长老都接待他们，他们就述说神同他们所行的一切事。唯有几个信徒是法利赛教门的人起来说，必须给外邦人行割礼，吩咐他们遵守摩西的律法。第六节，使徒和长老聚会商议这事，辩论已经多了，彼得就起来说，诸位弟兄，你们知道神早已在你们中间拣选了我，叫外邦人从我口中得听福音之道，而且相信，知道人心的神为他们做了见证，赐圣灵给他们，正如给我们一样，又借着信接近了他们的心，并不分他们我们。现在为什么试探神，要把神祖宗和我们所不能服的而放在门徒的景象上呢？我们得救乃是因主耶稣的恩，和他们一样，只是我们所信的，这是我们所信的。众人都默默无声，听保罗、巴拿巴述说神借着他们在外邦人中所行的神迹奇事。
Acts 15 verse 1. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles.
在历史里面呢，我们看到教会常常遇到这些教义的问题。
In history, we find that the church is often faced with doctrinal problems.
那么教会领导常常被聚集来思想考虑这些问题怎么来处理。
And the church leaders would often gather and debate over how they should solve these issues.
那么在教会里面最出名的有几个这个很出名的这个教会的这个会议。
And in the history of the church, there were a few very famous councils.
第一个就是尼西亚会议，在主后325年。
The first was the Council of Nicaea in AD 325。
那么在这边呢，出现了一个人叫做亚流，那么他倡导 亚流主义。
And there was a person called Arius, and he actually taught the Arian controversy.
意思说，他认为主耶稣并不是神。
And he actually said that Jesus was not God.
那么他认为耶稣是是生是神是天父所生下来的。
And he was teaching that Jesus is born by God.
因为他说是首生的嘛 ，firstborn。
Because he used the word firstborn to reason that.
啊，那么在那时候，非常很多人就开始相信了。
And a lot of people followed his heresy.
当然，后来这个教会就来问，到底这个我们是不是能够接受耶稣是不是神，而是被生和不是永远存在的。
And so the church gathered together a council to debate on whether they should accept this teaching that Jesus is not the eternal Son of God.
所以这里呢就出现了尼西亚会议。
And so the council of Nicaea gathered.
当然我们知道，如果你读教会历史或者神学，你就知道后来被这个亚流主义被称为是异端。
And of course, if you study the history of the church or if you study theology, you'll realize that this teaching by Arius was later called the Arian heresy.
那么后来他们认为这个主耶稣跟父神呢是同一位。
And so they declared that Jesus and God the Father is the same.
因为首生这两个字呢，可以说是或者我们叫做长子。长子的意思不是说一定是生出来，他意思是说他是有首生在旧约里面可以承受双倍的产业，他是领导的意思。
And they concluded that firstborn does not necessarily mean that he is born of the flesh, but that it means he has double inheritance in the Old Testament, or in other words, he is actually the leader.
那么他们把这个耶稣与十五神呢是同等同质，在神创世以前已经是存在了。
And so they concluded that Jesus, the Son of God, is of the same essence as the Father and of the same substance, and because of that, he is also eternal even before the creation of everything.
啊，这里我们不多讲这个尼西亚的这个会议。
And of course, we will not go into all the details of the council.
那么在主后451年，我们也出现了一个叫做加克顿会议。
And then in AD 451, there was a council of Chalcedonian.
意思说他们辩论耶稣基督呢，是不是以这个耶稣基督呢，他的这个是不是有神性还是人性？
And in this particular council, they debated on the human nature and the divine nature of Jesus.
那时候出现三个异端。
There were three heresies at that time.
第一个就是亚波里纳流主义。
And the first is Apollinarianism.
因为他认为耶稣只是有人的身体，没有人的灵魂。
Because in that thought, Jesus only had a human body but not a human spirit.
那么另外一个异端叫做聂斯多流主义。
And then there was the Nestorianism heresy.
因为他认为耶稣有两个人，一个是神，一个是人，两个不同的人存在一个身体里面。
And in this heresy, they believe that there are two separate personalities in Jesus, one human and one God, but these are two separate personalities.
另外第三个异端出现就是欧地奇主义。
And then there's the Oetikianism.
意思说，他说耶稣也不是神，也不是人，是有第三类。
And in this particular heresy, they believe that Jesus was neither God nor man, but a hybrid third person.
所以那时候呢，教会就聚会，把所有的领导聚集在一起，到底我们怎么样处理？耶稣到底是人还是神，还是怎么样看待这个问题？
So the church gathered all the leaders together to debate on this particular issue.
所以我们就出现了加克顿会议。
And so the council of Chalcedonian was gathered.
我们发现呢，最重要的在这个会议里面决定，教会里面已经肯定了耶稣是完全的人，是完全的神，在一个身体里面出现。
And so in this council they concluded that Jesus is completely man and completely God in the same body.
So 有时候我们叫做 hypostatic union， 就是我们知道耶稣是神也是人，同一个时候出现，但是我们不能够完全解释这个问题。
And they call this the hypostatic union, that Jesus is both man and God at the same time, but this is indeed a mystery that cannot be explained.
但是它是一位一个位格。
But just one person.
所以在这里我们已经提出了两个在教会里面很重要的会议来猜这一端。
And so we have mentioned two examples of very important councils in the history of the church.
但是这个做法呢，其实不是第一次有这样的会议呢，是就是在使徒行传耶路撒冷会议，这个才是在历史里面第一次的出现。
But this kind of gathering of the council together is not unique to the history of the church. Apart from the Bible, because in the Bible it records for us the first gathering of such a council.
在这第一次会议里面，就是保罗到处传扬主耶稣的福音。
And this first council gathered because Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere.
那么当时候呢，有很多人开始信主。
And many people came to believe in Jesus.
而且外邦人信主的人越来越多。
And the number of Gentiles who believed increased.
那么开始就有人说，哎，这边有犹太人信主，也有外邦人信主。
So in many places, both Jews and Gentiles believe.
那么犹太人信主要收割礼，那么犹外邦人信主要不要收割礼呢？
So if the Jews who are circumcised believe in the Lord, should the Gentiles who are not circumcised when they believe, must they undergo circumcision?
而且现在在这个安提欧教会里面，越来越多外邦人信主。
And in the church in Antioch, there were more and more Gentiles who believed.
然后这边这个犹太人教的人就出来说，你们必定必须要守摩西的律法才能够得救。
So the Jews who belong to Judaism came up and said that you must obey the law of Moses.
所以我们就出现了第一个，就是发现了这边有一个势不可挡的问题。
And so we find that there arose a serious difficulty.
你看第15章第1节。
Look at chapter 15, verse 1.
他说有几个人从犹太下来教训弟兄们说，你们若不按摩西的规条受割礼，就不能得救。
But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
保罗、巴拿巴就跟他们大大的纷争辩论。
And Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them.
所以这意思是说，这边在这个原文里面，这个纷争呢，它可以分成好像分党，或者是甚至跟它分裂，甚至叫做起义的意思。
And in the original Greek, the word translated dissension is actually denoting a division, and almost they were taking different sides, and there was like a revolution.
所以保罗就称你这样教导要收割礼，你们才是异端。
And so Paul called them as heretics.
所以在这里呢，他们就怎么样来处理教会里面的这些问题呢？
So how were they to deal with the problem in the church?
那么他们就上去耶路撒冷。
So they went to Jerusalem.
所以第二节他说，保罗、巴拿巴与他们大大的纷争辩论，众门徒就规定叫保罗、巴拿巴和本会中几个人所辩论的，上耶路撒冷去见使徒与长老。
Verse 2, and after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question.
所以在这里我们看到教会遇到问题的时候，谁来解决这个问题呢？
So when the church had a difficulty, who were there to solve it?
当然我们严格来讲，从这圣经里面看，解决问题的第一就是使徒。
And strictly speaking from the Bible, those who first arose to solve the problem were the apostles.
使徒们有神的呼召。
Because the apostles were appointed by God.
神拣选他们，而且怎么知道谁是使徒呢？那些能够行神迹奇事的，神把他们证明出来。
And so how do we know who were the apostles but those who performed miracles because God testified through them?
那么同时呢，这些使徒长老们呢，但是使徒也是长老们。
And the apostles were also the elders.
而且如果你仔细看下去呢，等一下我们仔细看下去呢，他们决定的这个程序呢，一定是按照圣经，特别是彼得站起来讲了事实之后呢，他们就雅各站起来按照圣经来分辨，最后他们认为圣经这个是符合圣经，所以他们来决定。
And as we read on later, we will find that their decision is made in accordance with the scripture, because Peter told them the story of how he preached the gospel And James stood up and quoted scripture in support of what they were about to do.
所以当他们有问题的时候呢，他们来解决，怎么解决呢？是谁来解决呢？我们看第六节，是使徒和长老聚会商议这事。
So when there was a problem, who would solve the problem? The verse 6 tells us that the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter.
不是整个教会。
It's not the entire church.
是使徒跟长老。
It is the apostles and the elders.
是教会的领导。
The leaders of the church.
啊，我们想起来，我们应该可以明白。
And as we think about this, it's easy to understand.
请问谁对圣经有清楚的教导，是信徒呢，还是长老领袖呢？
Who would actually know the Bible more? Is it the congregation, the believers, or the elders?
我们相信是，如果长老是按照教圣经的教导选这个圣老来安立的话呢，这个应该是长老们对圣经非常的熟悉。
And if the elders were appointed in accordance to the biblical definition, then the elders definitely would know the Bible more.
神选拣选安立长老呢，来带领教会。
God chose and appointed elders to lead the church.
所以不是让当教会有问题呢，不是教会在一起来选举来策划，不是的，是长老们来决定。
So when there is any issue arising in the church, it is not to be decided by the congregation who gather to take a vote, but rather it ought to be decided by the elders.
所以在这个组织上呢，我们称这个长老制，就是长老来领会。
And so in terms of the church governance, we would call this a elder-led church.
所以它不是由民主来选定。
So this is not congregational rule.
所以实际上我们稍微真的是想请问教这个。从世界的眼中来看呢，这个民主主义符合不符合圣经呢？
So as we look at this strictly speaking, when the world talks about democracy, is that biblical?
我们要知道圣经里面倡导的是神权的来治理，而不是人权来治理。
And we want to know that the Bible talks about theocracy rather than democracy.
全世界有一次呢，他们真的是同心合意的时候，你知道什么时候吗？
Do you know when the entire world will be united as one?
就是巴别塔的时候。
That is when they were building the Tower of Babel.
他们一起来说，我们大家一起，不要管他是神，我们自己决定我们要做的。这个非常的民主，大家都同意。但是他们不要神，请问这个合不合圣的圣经的教导呢？
It was totally democratic when the people of the tower, the Genesis came together and they said, we will all come together and be united to build the tower. Let's ignore God.
所以不是的，这个是很民主，但是这个不符合圣经，不符合神的意思。
Of course, that is very democratic, but it is anti-biblical.
在圣经里面看到呢，神按照他的意思呢，拣选了一些人做使徒，一些人做长老。
And according to what we see from the Bible, it is God's will that He has appointed some people to be the apostles and some as the elders.
刚才我们在读经的时候，我们也看到保罗叫提多，你要在各城里面设立长老。
And as we read the scriptures just now, Paul wrote to Titus and asked him to appoint elders in different cities.
所以你看到这个案例呢，是从上而下，不是从下而上，不是选举出来的。
So this appointment is from top down rather than bottom up, so they will not be considering the vote of the congregation.
如果我们高举圣经，这个就是圣经的给我们的模式，这个就是我们按照圣经的模式来做。
And if we uphold the word of God, then this is the model that the Bible sets for us, and we should obey it.
所以呢，我们就这个制度呢，是我们的教会的制度呢，就是长老制。
So our church is therefore ruled by elders.
如果不是呢，我们就采取民主主义的话呢，变成我们要去讨好每一个人的这个欢心，你才来选举我的话呢，我就不可能很严格的来执行神的话，而且不能够严格的来这个惩罚罪恶。
And if what we are doing is a democratic rule, then we will always be seeking the popular vote. And the elders would actually have to please the people, and they will not be able to preach God's word faithfully or to treat sin seriously.
所以我们不相信这个在教会里面不是以这个民主制度来执行。
So in the church, it ought not to be ruled by democracy.
所以第六节说使徒和长老们聚会商议这事。
Verse 6 tells us that the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter.
跟他们在一起的时候怎么来商议这事呢？
So how did they consider this matter?
所以如果你仔细读下去，
If you read carefully,
那么他们第七节说他们辩论多了。
Verse 7 tells us that there was much debate.
所以当他们在一起的时候他们一起来讨论而且有辩论，把这些事情到底他在谈论什么事情，了解得清楚明白之后才来商议。
And so they gathered and they debated much things and before they came to a decision.
所以在这边呢，你发现他们谈多了之后呢，彼得就站起来说：“诸位弟兄们啊，你早知道神已经拣选了我，叫外邦人从我的口中听见福音的道，而且他们也相信。不但他们相信呢，而且呢，他们也得了洁净，他们也得了得救，而且呢，他们神已经赐圣灵。第八节说，神赐圣灵给他们，像我们一样。”
And verse 7, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you.That by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us."
所以彼得在做什么呢？
What was Peter doing?
彼得在把事实摆在他们的面前。
Peter was laying down the facts before them.
他说你看神在这边做了这些事情，你们看这些都是事实，你们看得见的。
And he is telling them that look,These are all facts that God has done this, and you can see them.
你看第十二节，众人都默默无声，然后听巴拉巴和保罗说，当时候在那边述说神在他们中间所做的事情。
Verse 12, and all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles.
然后第十三节，你看。
And verse 13, look at that.
他们住了声，雅各就起来说，诸位弟兄，请听我说。
After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me."
那么你看第十五节，众先知的话也以这意思相合。
And verse 15, with this, the words of the prophets agree.
正如经上所记，此后我要回来重建、修造大卫倒塌的帐幕，又把破坏的重新修造、建立起来，叫余剩的人，就是凡称为我名下的外邦人，也就都寻求主。
Just as it is written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, and the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from the old."
所以这个雅各呢在引用阿摩斯书第九章的话。
And James was quoting from Amos chapter 9.
因为看到这个以色列人背叛神之后呢，大卫的这个王位已经被夺去，但是呢，在神的旨意里面呢，从神要重新建造，而且要使到外邦人都能够信主。
And because of Israel's sin, David's throne fell, but yet Amos prophesied that God will re-establish David's throne, and after that, all the Gentiles will come and believe.
简单的来说，教会遇到问题的时候，谁来解决？
To put it simply, when the church faces a problem, who comes to solve them?
是教会们的长老们。
It is the church leaders, aka the elders.
当使徒们不在的时候呢，就是长老教会的领导来处理这些事情。
When there are no more apostles, the church leaders, which means the elders, would deal with this issue.
他们怎么处理呢？第一，他们来辩论，他们来得所有的资料，然后呢，彼得站起来把事实讲清楚。
And how would they deal with the problem? Firstly, they will come together and they will debate and they will lay down all the facts like Peter.
第二呢，雅各站起来说，来查考圣经有没有这样事情，清楚的查考圣经有没有符合圣经的教导。
And secondly, James stood up and referred to the Bible and says, "Hey, look, this is what the Bible says."
所以呢，他用圣经来衡量他们所做的是不是符合圣经的教导。
So he used scripture to weigh whether what they were doing is biblical or not.
所以呢，我们看到，当我们遇到困难、遇到问题的时候呢，教会的领袖必须要聚集，必须要商讨，把事实讲出来，然后按照圣经来做一个决定。
So when the church has a problem, the church leaders must gather and debate.And come to a decision that is in accordance with the word of God.
所以我这个叫做唇枪舌剑的辩论。
And this is what I call the serious debate.
所以他们就很严格的来思想，但是做决定的原则呢，就是按照圣经，看他们符合不符合圣经。
So they came together and debate, but the decision must be according to the Bible.
所以这个是他们在再来衡量到底怎么样的来。跟这个怎么样来解决教会所遇到的这个问题。
So as they come together, they are here to debate on how to solve the problem.
所以呢，我们在这里看到他们在经过讨论之后，彼得把事实讲清楚，雅各用圣经来证明。
So after the debate, Peter laid down the facts and James provided the biblical proof.
所以呢，他们就做一个决定。
And so they came to a decision.
这个决定呢，我叫它做深思熟虑的决定。
And this I call it the serious decision.
为什么叫做深思熟虑呢？等一下我们会看，我们继续讲下去呢，你就会明白为什么这个决定是这么深思熟虑。
And why is this decision a serious one? As we look down, we will see.
那么接下来你继续看第十九节，那么雅各继续说，所以据我的意见，不可难为那归附神的外邦人，只要写信吩咐他们禁戒偶像的污秽和奸淫，并勒死的牲畜和血，因为从古以来摩西的书在各城里有传讲，每逢安息日在会堂有诵读。
And so James said in verse 19, Therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from all, from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues.
所以在这边他做了个什么决定呢？他说是的，不要他们外邦人是怎么信主呢？是因信称义，对吗？
And of course, how would the Gentiles turn to God? They are actually justified by faith.
不是靠守摩西的律法，对吗？
It is not by keeping Moses' law.
如果是这样的话呢？
If that's the case,
为什么雅各站起来说的时候，我们不要难为他们，不过这边守多四样东西。
Then why did James stand up and say we should not trouble them, but here are four things to obey?
他说不要守这个割礼，不过这边还有四样要守。
So why is James saying you need not be circumcised, but here are four laws to obey?
这个四样是什么呢？要禁戒偶像的污秽，还有奸淫，还有勒死的牲畜，还有血。
And these four things would be to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood.
我们已经听到他们在辩论的问题是人怎么得救呢？是因信称义。如果是因信，都不是守摩西的律法，所以连这个割礼都不用守。为什么把雅各又讲出四条要守的呢？
And as they debated, we find that they have concluded that.The salvation is through the grace of the Lord Jesus, and by faith they believe. So they need not obey the law of circumcision. So why all of a sudden James added four more things for them to obey?
因为这段圣经呢，我们就发现很多教会说，我们很严谨的，不可以赐血，不可以喝血，什么都不可以。
And so we find some churches that say that we must be very careful and we must not eat the blood.Or drink blood.
我们中国人才会用这个字 eat blood, 刺血。
And only the Chinese will say they will eat blood.
因为在台湾他们有这个血是 jelly 的血，对不对？
And in Taiwan they have this jelly made of blood.
我们新加坡有猪杂汤，里面他们的血是一块一块硬的。
And
所以刺血。
In Singapore we also make soup with pieces of clotted blood.
所以我先讲清楚，我不吃血，我也不喝血。但是呢，我们不是看个人的经验，我们要从圣经里面严格的解经学来看这段圣经的时候，我们要问到底需要可以吃还是不可以吃，可以喝还是不可以喝。
I want to tell you that personally I do not eat or drink blood, but we do not want to come to a conclusion based on personal experience. We must come to the Bible and apply proper hermeneutical principles.To deduce whether we can or we cannot do certain things.
所以我们要在这边，本来我们在讲这段圣经的时候讲得好好的，都是因信称义，教会有问题是这样解决的。来这边，我们都是因信称义，明白了，不用守摩西的律法。突然间他又出现四道摩西的律法，这个呢就本身与这个解经学有违背，因为这个前文跟下文，前文上文下文呢不能够合一。
And as we study this passage in the beginning, it has been flowing well. We talk about how they came and debated, and they laid down the facts, and they considered the Bible, and they said that salvation is by faith alone, and there should not be any laws added to it. But all of a sudden, there are four more laws that comes out. So this, when we apply the hermeneutical principles, we find that there is a difficulty because the top and the bottom, when you take it in context,To contradict.
所以呢，我们要很清楚到底怎么样看这段圣经。
So we want to be very clear how we should view this passage.
所以我们很清楚这段圣经一开始的时候是讲因信称义，因为保罗去传讲道理的时候不需要守割礼，这个因信称义，这个就是他的内容。
So we want to know that at the beginning they have already concluded that justification is by faith alone, and that is the content.
那么这个是 context， 它的背景是什么呢？背景是犹太人、外邦人。犹太人说要守割礼，外邦人说我们不用守割礼。保罗说教导我们只要信就可以了，摩西的律法不用守。
And the context is that the Jews were saying they have to obey the law of circumcision, but the Gentiles were saying that this is not what Paul taught us. Paul taught us that we should just have faith.
所以我们在这边讲的是主题是因信称义。
So the main theme here, we know that justification is by faith alone.
像为什么在这个时候雅各又提出四样东西呢？
So why did James added four more things?
这四样东西有什么特别？如果你说信主靠信心称义之后呢，信主之后呢，你是不是可以杀人啊？是不是可以爱神啊？是不是可以犯奸？当然，这边还有很多东西要讲。为什么你不讲这些东西，只讲这四样？这四样有什么特别
？And of course, they have already concluded that justification is by faith, but James did not talk about whether they could murder or whether they should love God or not or whether they should do other things. But why all of a sudden talk about these four things? What's so special about it?
所以我们一定要知道这个背景后面这四样东西，这四样是有什么特别之处。
So we must know the background of what's happening here and what's so special about these four particular things.
所以在这边我们发现这个境界偶像的污秽，它是特别是讲说那些食物是。祭过偶像的。
And here is talking about abstinence from things polluted by idols, which specifically refers to food that's used to worship idols.
所以你看第二十节，要禁戒偶像的污秽。
Verse 20 says to abstain from the things polluted by idols.
你如果看二十九节
，If you look at verse 29,
就是禁戒祭偶像的物。
It is referring to food that has been sacrificed to idols.
所以这边是讲的是拜过偶像的物可以吃还是不可以吃。
So can we eat food that has been sacrificed to idols?
那么而且如果你看到哥林多前书，他说这个偶像不算是什么，我们如果感谢领受就可以吃了。
And if you look at 1 Corinthians.Paul tells us that the idols are nothing, and whatever that we receive with thanks, we can eat.
那么还有这边不但是奸淫，等一下我再讲奸淫，然后还有类似的牲畜。
And I will talk about sexual immorality in a while, but it also talks about animals that were strangled.
还有血。
And blood.
所以这边大概是讲说，那个类似的牲畜就是不是按照犹太的律法来杀 的这个食物呢，来处理的食物呢都不可以吃，就好像今天很多回教徒不可以吃这个没有哈拉的食物。
And animals that have been strangled would that have been killed, which is not according to the law of Moses. It's just like today, Muslims cannot eat food that is non-halal.
所以在这边我们在讲什么呢？基本上很可能就是讲四样东西。第一呢，就是拜过偶像的食物。
So there are four things here, food that has been sacrificed
to idols. 第二就是那些没有按照律法来处理过的食物，就是因为它勒死之后呢，它的血不能够流出来，所以他说这些食物不可以吃。
And secondly, food that has been prepared not in accordance to the law of Moses, because after they have been strangled, the blood cannot be drained.
而且第三个就是不可以吃血。
And thirdly, they cannot eat or drink blood.
那么我们再问你。新加坡的军队里面呢，他教你，如果你在这个深山野岭的时候没有水喝，怎么样呢？抓一条蛇，然后喝它的血，这样喝好还是不喝
？And you know that actually in the armed forces, you have been taught that if you are in the wilderness and there's no water to drink, then you will find a snake, kill it and drink its blood.
但是呢，我们要问一些问题，但是彼得当神要他向外邦人传福音的时候，他说。看这边有一块布，里面有很多不洁净的，吃。彼得说我不可以吃，这是不洁净。他说神所洁净的没有洁净跟不洁净，所以你不需要守这些了。所以既然吃，像现在吃还是不吃
？And we recall again that Peter had a vision that there was a very big piece of garment that was let down from heaven, and in it there were clean and unclean animals, and God said kill and eat.Peter said, I have never eaten anything unclean, but God said, do not call anything that I have created unclean. So, to eat or not to eat.
所以来到新约的时候，神已经告诉我们不需要守这些旧约摩西的律法。
Because in the New Testament, God has really told us that we need not follow the Old Testament law of Moses.
那么血呢，可以喝还是不可以喝呢
？So how about blood to drink or not to drink?
你说一定不可以喝。
And some people say, no, no.
这样主耶稣为什么说这个是我立约的杯，这个是我的血，你要喝，你要吃我的肉，喝我的血，怎么办呢？这样连主耶稣的杯你也不能吃，不能喝。
Then how about Jesus when he took the cup? He said, "Drink, this is the blood of my covenant." And so, if you say we cannot drink blood, then are we not to partake of the cup?
那么就很多人，有些人就说，哎呀，这个不是，这个主耶稣的血，那个杯是象征式的，没有真的喝到那个血。
And some people might say, "Oh no, that's just a symbol, and we are not really drinking Jesus' blood."
但是你也要注意，圣经里面有这么讲说，主耶稣说，当你看到一个女人呢，如果你想跟她这个有不正当的行为，你已经犯了那个罪。
But if you remember, Jesus said in the Bible that if you see a woman and you have lust for her in your heart, you have already committed adultery.
那么现在呢，主耶稣说，你这个血不但是不可以喝，想喝血也不可以。
So what does that mean? It means that God looks at the heart. So when you think about drinking blood, it means that that's also a sin.
所以现在我给你很多问题了，你不懂怎么回答。
I've given you a lot of questions, but what are the answers?
所以这四样东西呢，有什么特别呢
？So what's so special about these four things?
我告诉你这四样东西有什么特别。这些四样东西呢，都跟当时候的外邦人敬拜偶像有关系。
Let me tell you what's so special about those four things. They are all related at that time to idol worship of the Gentiles.
或者是他当时候外邦人的这个庙里面的这个敬拜。
Or to be more specific, this has to do with worship in pagan temples.
那么特别，那么你说这个奸淫有什么关系？
So what about sexual immorality? How does this have to do with that?
如果你回去研究的话呢，很多当时候的庙宇，那个外邦人的这个庙宇里面呢，它有庙妓。
If you study this carefully, then you will find that in history during that time, in a lot of pagan temples, there were temple prostitutes.
所以他们以为这样的话呢，能够跟这个神沟通。
And they thought that with all this.Sexual acts in the temple, they can communicate with their gods.
所以在这里我们要注意到，如果你严格的用释经学的解经的话呢，你会发现上文下理在讲一件事情，就是因信称义。
And if you apply proper hermeneutical principles here, you realize that the context of the whole passage is talking about justification by faith.
那么它的主题是因信称义，它的内容就是说可不可以啊、就是啊、要不要守这个旧约的律法。
So if justification is by faith, then do we need to obey the law of the Old Testament?
它的背景是犹太人跟这个外邦人，到底我们要做还是要守你的律法，还是我们要做我们的方法？
And the background is that the Jews were debating with the Gentiles.
所以在这种情形下，我们怎么样解释这段圣经呢？
So in this kind of situation, how do we explain this passage?
所以如果你真是严格来讲呢，他的意思是这样。他说我们是因信称义，所以不需要守摩西的律法。
So strictly speaking, we are justified by faith and we need not keep Moses' law.
包括所有的律法。
It includes all laws.
那么来到这四样的时候呢，我们这边有一个字呢，我们中国人跟外跟西这个西方人有很大的分别。
And when it comes to one word now, there is a big difference between the Chinese and the English translation.
你看第二十节，他说只要写信吩咐他们禁戒偶像。
Verse 20, the English says to abstain.
英文叫做 abstain. Abstain 的意思是什么呢？这个字呢，就是指避免的意思。
What's the meaning of to abstain? It means to avoid.
不是禁戒。
It's not absolute forbidden.
啊，所以你会发现禁戒这两个字呢，是好像禁止还是诫命戒掉这个东西，它没有这个它的力度没有到这个地方。
But the Chinese translation carries the idea of forbidding.
啊，所以在这里呢。这个 hapako 的意思呢，是指说你要给他有一个距离，不要靠近他，不要亲近他，要逃离他，要离开他的意思。
And the original Greek word, which is the apago, actually means to keep a distance, to keep off, to hold back, to avoid or to abstain.
啊，所以他是说不要做这些事情，不是说你一定不可以做这些事情。
In other words, it is not a command that is forbidden.
而且呢，在文法上面，这个是一个动词，不是一个命令。
And this is a verb, not an imperative.
啊，所以我们就明白，所以我就明白了一件事情：为什么我到西方国家的美国的时候，我们谈这个问题，它总是没有问题啊，要吃血随便啊，要吃就吃，不要吃算了。来到中国呢，你跟教会讲吃血，哇，你好像犯了个大奸命这样，你一定会下地狱的，如果你吃。
And we realize that when we bring up this issue in the Western church, they have no problem. It will be like, oh, if you want to eat, if you don't want to, it's fine. But when it comes to the Chinese church in China, they are so adamant that you cannot touch it. And if you touch it, it is like a big sin that will cast you straight into hell.
所以雅各在这边做什么？
So what was James doing?
他说我们是因信称义，所以叫他们不用守摩西的律法。
So James is telling them that we are justified by faith. So tell them that they do not need to obey the law of Moses.
不过呢，叫他们不要做这些事情，因为这是我们犹太人很讨厌的东西，就是说祭偶像的物、勒死的这个牲畜，还有这个血、吃血、喝血，还有呢庙祭这些事情，那么你们全部不要提，不要靠近，不然的话我们心里良心过不去。
However, as Jews, there are some things that we really hate.Because they have to do with the temple, pagan temple worship, which is actually food sacrifice to idols, blood, strangled animals, and sexual immorality. So please abstain or avoid all these things because it will stumble the conscience of the Jews.
不要靠近，不要，就算那边有这，比如说今天你如果看到基督徒走进庙里面，很多人会跌倒，这样就不要靠近。你说不是啊，我这个是古迹，要去研究研究一下。你连这个，如果有软弱的基督徒，你连这个也不做。
And just like in today's context, some Christians would go to a pagan temple in order to study the archaeological construction, but some other Christians might be stumbled. And if in so doing other Christians are stumbled, then you shouldn't do it.
所以为了他们的良心的缘故，我们就不吃。
So it is for their conscience that you avoid eating these things.
不是说雅各说你一定不可以吃，不是诫命。
So James wasn't giving a command to forbid them.
所以你不要靠近这些东西，不要靠近庙，也不要靠近这些吃偶像的东西、吃血的东西，不要靠近，也不要提，也不要使到你的这个犹太弟兄跌倒。
Just don't go near, don't talk about them, because it will stumble your Jewish brethren.
就好像有人讲说，不可以吃肉，如果你不可以吃肉，认为不可以吃肉的，我就不做，不吃肉好了，不要滥用我的自由。
Just like some people will say that they will not eat meat, then if by eating meat you stumble that person, then don't, because you do not want to abuse your freedom.
但是严格来讲呢，保这个雅各没有说这个不是一个诫命，因为刚刚讲说因信称义，这个不是诫命。
So strictly speaking, James was not giving a command because he just said that justification is by faith and they need not obey law.
就好像你看到这个提摩太第三章，提摩太前书四章第四章第三节说，你们要有些人呢说不可以禁止嫁娶，有些人禁止食物，就是神所造叫那信而明白的人，如果感谢这领受就可以，凡所造的物都是好的，若感谢领受的就没有一样可弃，都因为神的道和人的祈求成为了圣洁。
1 Timothy 4:3 when Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote about people who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer.
所以在这里说，凡神所造的物，凡所有的都是好的，如果感谢领受，就没有一样可弃。
Everything created by God is good, nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving.
所以如果你很喜欢吃东西，这个是好消息。
So if you love to eat, this is good news for you.
什么都可以吃。
You can eat anything.
这些吃与吃不吃的不能使你得救，也不会让神看重你。
And eat or not to eat will not save you or will not make you better in the eyes of God.
但是有些人心里软弱的人呢，我们就因他的缘故不吃。
But if some people are weak in their conscience, then for their sake we should abstain.
所以今天我们在中国人的社会里面呢，很多人对这个东西很敏感呢，我们就不提他说的。如果你信心软弱，我们就不用坚持，你说不吃就不吃。但是如果你是一个信心坚强，对圣经很有研究的人呢，我们就跟你仔细的思想这个解经原则，没有说不可以吃，但是不要吃那个没有问题。
So if we were to go to a Chinese church today and their faith and conscience is weak and they tell you no, you shouldn't eat, then for their sake you should abstain. But if you want to sit down and are willing to discuss what the Bible really talks about this kind of things, then we can sit down and talk about the hermeneutical principles that this is not a command.
所以我讲说深思熟虑的决定是什么意思呢？
So why do I call this the serious decision?
因为他们想过清楚，外邦人你信主之后不用守割礼，不用守摩西的律法。
Because they have considered that as Gentiles when they come, they need not obey the law of Moses.
这样的话，是不是外邦人可以去庙里面呢吃他的偶像的东西啊、喝血啊？这些犹太人看见的就很软弱。
So does it mean that the Gentiles can do whatever that they please in pagan temples and drink blood and eat food sacrificed to idols, but the conscience of the Jews are weak?
因为这个时候呢，那个律法，这个会堂还没有拆毁，圣殿还没有拆毁，所以摩西的教导还是在那边教，这些犹太人会软弱的。
Because at this time the synagogues were still active and the temple of God has not been destroyed yet.So when the Jews see this kind of things happening in pagan temples, their faith will be weak.
所以为了他们的信心、他们的良心的缘故，请你们不要做这些事情。我知道你有自由，但是不要。
So for the sake and the conscience and faith of the Jews, even though you have freedom, then please don't.
当然我们知道在主后七十年，这个所有的这个会堂啊，这个圣殿已经被摧毁之后呢，就没有这些事情了。
And we know that in AD 70, the temple was destroyed along with all the synagogues. Then we know that this problem did not exist after that.
所以呢，我们在这边学到一件事情。
And we learn one lesson from here.
第一就是解经学我们要很严谨。
Firstly, we must have very strict hermeneutical principles.
第二呢，如果弟兄姐妹有软弱呢，我们为了他们的缘故呢，可以不要滥用我们的自由。
Secondly, if brothers and sisters are weak in their conscience, Then for their sake, we should not abuse our freedom.
如果是这样的话，我们回来雅各所讲的话，雅各所讲的话并没有冲突，没有跟因信称义有冲突。
And when we return to what James said, then we will realize that there is no contradiction from what he said with justification by faith.
他不是在给他们四条命令。
He was not giving them four commands.
他是说为了犹太人的良心软弱，不要做这些事情。
He is telling them that for the sake of the conscience of the Jews, do not do this.
他知道你们有自由，但是不要。
He knows that you have freedom, but
you are saying, 不要靠近偶像，不要靠近这些东西。
Don't go near to these things that are polluted by idols.
所以这段圣经使徒行传第十五章给我们看见一个很重要的功课，就是教会里面的问题怎么处理。
So this passage in Acts 15 gives us a lot of important lessons. Firstly, we learn how problems are dealt with in the church.
教会的问题呢，应该是由教会的领导来处理。
The problems in the church should be dealt with by the leaders.
那么领导怎么处理呢？领导不需要按照圣经来分辨是不是符合圣经来做决定。
And the leaders must make their decision in accordance with the Bible.
那么在做决定的时候呢，不单只是这个事实而已，他需要照顾到有软弱的弟兄姐妹，我们要怎么样来爱他们，来帮助他们，来扶持他们。
And as they come to a decision, it is not just based on fact alone, but they must also consider the faith and the conscience of the weaker brethren and how they can uphold one another.
所以这个就是给我们看到耶路撒冷会议给我们学到许多的东西。
So the Council of Jerusalem teach us many lessons.
让我们按照神的设计来过一个教会的生活。
And let us live the church life together according to God's design.
让我们做一个结束的祷告，我们请志平来祷告。
Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray and ask that you will help us, that we will have a proper understanding of your word, so that we will do what is right. And once again, we pray for the leaders of our church, the elders, that you will guard them against error, that you will help them to be above reproach and to fulfill all the qualities of elders as spelled out in your word. We pray that may the congregation submit to the leadership of the elders. And we ask, Father, that you also help us to love one another so that we will not stumble anybody whose conscience and faith is weak. Pray all this in Jesus.